Hello, and welcome to the Power Your Advice podcast, brought to you by Advisorpedia. In this series, we interview innovators from across the financial services industry to help you understand who they are, what they do, and why that matters to you and your clients. And now, please join your host, Doug Heikkinen.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. WisdomTree works to create a better way to invest, offering a product range that offers access to unique and smart exposures. Christopher Gennady has been an integral part of the organization since 2010, and he currently holds the position as Global Head of Research. Chris has the responsibility for many communications pertaining to global investment strategies with the focus of thematic equity. Today, we're going to be talking everything AI, looking into its unprecedented nature amidst past technological revolutions. Welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Thanks for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
So there's lots going on. There's global unrest. There's a tumultuous election coming on. But there's one subject that keeps coming up over and over again, and it's complex and there's tons of potential, and that's artificial intelligence. So if you can take a minute to talk about how we got here, give us a path to how AI from its beginnings to where we are now.
It's interesting to consider because the concept of AI, people have probably heard of the Turing test based on Alan Turing writing a paper in the 40s going into the 1950s. And there were some big symposiums, one of which was at Dartmouth in 1955, 1956. And so there's this long and storied history of some of the smartest people in academia and industry. Bell Labs is a name that comes up throughout history. And you see that people had a lot of these ideas, but the technology, and when I say technology in this context, NVIDIA was not around yet. The powerful computing chips that are getting talked about all the time now were not around yet. The bandwidth of the internet was not around yet. And so being able to use massive amounts of data to train and run these systems such that they can start to do those interesting things that we now probably take for granted, that's something that only came about in the past couple of years. So it's almost as though these researchers were able to finally test all this stuff that they've been thinking about for decades because the hardware and the bandwidth and everything just now has caught up to some of the best ideas in AI.
There's been many technological revolutions in the history of the world. Are there similar ones, or is this one different than anyone else?
What's probably different is the degree of transparency in the sense that in 2007, when the iPhone came out, it changed the way that we experience life, really, because that put us on a track. And from 2007 to today, it's scary to think that that's basically 17 years. But you step back and you say, there's never a time now, for the most part, that you're not, you basically have to try to not be connected to the internet. And what that means is information is hitting you all the time. And so we are, all of us, being hit with that next headline, that next thing about AI all the time. Some of those things are good. Some of those things are neutral. Some of those things are bad. But what's probably different this time around is you're bringing a new disruptive exponential technology online is you're getting all the opinions, all the news, all the breakthroughs with a degree of immediacy. Whereas even in the 1990s, tech was a big thing. We had the tech bubble, but you were not getting the news with sort of that same degree of immediacy. There was not a smartphone. You know, the idea of sending a text message in the 90s, it was a big, expensive production. Whereas now, the amount of data that we create every single day as people, as companies, it's really just off the charts. And so that's probably the key difference today relative to past exponential things.
How wide has the adoption been of AI? And are there still opportunities for growth?
So it depends on the type that we're thinking, in the sense that if people are using Google to search, you could not say that AI is not involved there in machine learning, helping to optimize the various search results that you see. If you're using YouTube or Netflix or Amazon Prime, again, AI is being used to recommend how you're going to spend that next hour of your time, what you're going to watch, what you're going to potentially buy. So this idea of recommendation engines has been a big area of AI for numerous years. And I would imagine most people have experienced some version of that already. Most people have experienced some version of these smart assistants. And we can debate, you know, Alexa versus Google Assistant versus Siri and which ones give you the best results or not. But the idea of the smart assistant is also something that has been in place for numerous years. What's newer is the idea of generative AI, things that are sort of based on the architecture that's behind ChatGPT, which really only came out in November of 2022. And so the adoption, say, at the company level, meaning companies paying to use ChatGPT-like things, whether it's Microsoft Copilot or certain others, the adoption of those things is still in its very, very early innings.
Is there a place where the growth gets so fast and widespread that it could be feared?
It's interesting. A lot of people, they talk about the singularity, the takeoff, the concept that is similar to what you might see in Hollywood movies, Terminator and others, where suddenly the computer becomes almost like a consciousness with its own thoughts, wants, desires, morality, or lack thereof. And it sees humans as, you know, the threat. And we all know how those movies tend to go. And so ultimately, so far, what you get a lot more of is this idea of, I read an interesting article called Infinite Intelligence, which is different from superintelligence. Superintelligence is the computer is just smarter than people in all aspects. It can do anything instantly. And, you know, you're kind of unable to determine when that may or may not occur. It's sort of like quantum computing. Maybe it comes around the corner. Maybe it takes the next 40 years. You just don't know. But the idea of infinite intelligence was intriguing to me because it's basically like a person is sitting in the chair working on a given project. And instead of working with another person who might get tired and have to take a break, have to take a vacation, they're working side by side with sort of a virtual presence, which never gets tired, can search the entire internet or the entire database or whatever you're looking at. And it can just brute force, meaning keep trying different things, different possibilities, different answers on an ongoing basis for hours and hours and hours. And now you're able to maybe solve, whether it's a math problem, a physics problem, a chemistry problem, and you're able to solve it because you've got something working on it on an ongoing basis, essentially as long as it takes to come up with interesting answers and solutions. And so in a sense, you really can't say if you're ever going to have artificial general intelligence. You can read articles. Some people think yes. Some people think maybe. Some people think no. But this idea of the infinite intelligence and that assistant that never gets tired, to me, that's more intriguing.
Let's talk investing. What does the market think of AI as an investment?
You look at certain share prices, NVIDIA at the top of that list, and you would say, the market seems to like what it's seeing so far. I was looking, NVIDIA had a revenue of about $4.3 billion back in 2013. And when it reported its most recent earnings, it had a revenue of over $60 billion. And so you've seen companies like NVIDIA, the demand for what they're able to provide is there. And the way in which a massive amount of those incremental revenues and ultimately earnings have really come in the last year. And so people are certainly willing to pay for this very, very specialized hardware. You have certain companies like NVIDIA that have given shareholders quite an incredible return around that. And one of the things that we try to remind people of is, look, no company can just operate fully on an island completely by itself. When you're looking at that NVIDIA H100 or soon to be B100 and what have you, as NVIDIA keeps advancing down the line, there are all sorts of companies that make a contribution to allow that system, and it is a system, to function holistically. And so when we think of the AI space, we remind people to look beyond NVIDIA, to think of the ecosystem, to think of all these companies that need to work together to allow for these systems to effectively run.
So how can advisors and investors access it as an investment? What are some options?
So WisdomTree launched our Artificial Intelligence and Innovation Fund. The ticker of that would be WTAI. And that strategy is meant to think at an ecosystem level, recognizing you're going to want some exposure to software, you're going to want some exposure to semiconductors, you're going to want some exposure to things like robotics, you're going to want some exposure to different kinds of sensors. And you're going to know that in certain years, people are going to get excited about large language models. And in other years, maybe autonomous driving, self-driving vehicles becomes more exciting. And in other years, maybe it's robotics. So there are these different topics that sort of ebb and flow in terms of excitement. And our thought was, look, we can't necessarily predict when that next breakthrough is going to come. So all the time, why not be exposed to all of it? Now, there's another strategy, our WisdomTree US quality growth strategy. Ticker symbol there is QGRW. And that strategy puts the largest weight in some of the highest quality, best growth-oriented companies that are also the largest in the world, largest in the US, and by virtue of that, largest in the world. And that's where you see your quote-unquote Magnificent Seven. And as we look at the markets this year, that's one of the quintessential questions, whether you're going to get a broad-based rally, meaning companies of all shapes and sizes do particularly well, or if it's going to look like 2023, where you get this subset of some of the largest companies in the world literally driving the market forward and not much participation beyond it.
What's the benefit of accessing these technological ideas in this kind of way?
The thing about the ETF is it's very transparent, which is helpful because that allows people to not necessarily have to listen to me or anyone at WisdomTree, but they can literally see what companies are actually represented within the exposure on any given day. And that's useful. We forget, you know, prior to the global financial crisis, 2008, 2009, there were many investments where people sort of just took the word of the manager, and you may not have known what was in there. And so being able to verify which companies WisdomTree believes are exposed to AI, or to being able to verify that the Magnificent Seven or related stocks are close to the top holdings, that's probably your best aspect, as well as the fact that with ETFs, it's a very tax-efficient structure, and it's a structure where usually the cost is significantly less than actively managed approaches.
How do you separate yourself? What's the difference between these funds and those of others? So why WisdomTree?
So WisdomTree seeks to bring an expertise and an experience, given that we've been running funds like this going all the way back to 2006. So it's coming up on 20 years of live history, ultimately always wanting to provide a differentiated exposure relative to what is currently out there. Back in 2006, what currently out there would have meant is market cap weighted exposures. Where we are today is you look at how you're seeking to manage the exposure to AI in a way that accounts and doesn't get too excited about any one company. We look at AI strategies out there. Some of them are 10 to 20% weighted just to NVIDIA, which if the year goes a certain way, that you end up looking like a genius. If the year goes a different way, you end up looking like the opposite. And ultimately, when we look at how we're building it, you're going to have a specific rationale for the weighting of any underlying stock, and we're not going to allow ourselves to get carried away and end up with undue exposure, undue risk in any one stock.
Chris, you have your own podcast. What's it called and how can people access it?
And I'm glad you mentioned that. It's called The Next Big Thing. It's a newer podcast, so we appreciate any and all listeners that we are able to get. We talk all about different thematics. So AI is certainly a topic, but we cover thematics across the board there as well. And it's called The Next Big Thing, and it's available anywhere that podcasts are available. I think we get our most listeners on the Spotify platform, but that's not to say you couldn't listen on the other platforms.
Fascinating stuff, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
To learn more about WisdomTree, please visit wisdomtree.com. Please follow us for timely updates on X, LinkedIn, and Facebook, all at Advisorpedia. For everybody at Advisorpedia, our producer Julia Smolin, our engineer Tori Miller, and the Power Your Advice podcast team, this is Doug Heikkinen.
Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the funds before investing. To obtain a prospectus containing this and other important information, please call 866-909-9473. Read the prospectus carefully before you invest. There are risks involved with investing, including the possible loss of principal. WisdomTree funds are distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC, in the U.S. only. Foreside Fund Services, LLC, is not affiliated with the other entities. Holdings are subject to change. Please visit wisdomtree.com/WTAI or wisdomtree.com/QGRW for the latest fund holdings.